Thank you, ladies. Appreciate the good singing this evening. Now, I have to apologize to you because I messed up. I told you I made a typo. We're not in Deuteronomy tonight. We're in Exodus. Exodus 19. Brother Jeff told me before service, said Deuteronomy 19 doesn't have 25 verses. I said, uh-oh. And I got to look and I said, that's because we're in Exodus, not Deuteronomy. So if you'll forgive me, I'll try not to make that mistake again and take you to the whole wrong part of the Bible for a message. But if you'll turn to Exodus chapter 19, we are going to begin in verse number 20 tonight. Verse number 20. And you can remain seated this evening. And let me preface this by saying when we get to this portion in the first part of chapter 19, we see that Moses had already gone up unto God, and he came back down. God spoke to the people. And then verse 20, we see the Lord speaking to Moses again. And the Bible said the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priest also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mountain and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. Look at verse 25. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. Now, when you look at that section of verses, it really seems kind of uneventful. I mean, it wasn't like God gave him the law at this time, right? That was another occurrence where the Lord gave Moses the law. But here, he gives him some directions, right? He gives him some things that he is supposed to do and some things he's supposed to say. And sometimes when we are having those mountaintop experiences, we realize that there, last week we looked at the danger of it, that we can go and really be at ease. And if we're not careful, we become very apathetic. But sometimes God will call us up to those mountaintop experiences, not for an experience where it's just ecstasy, so to speak, but it's that place where we can get away and hear from God. And really, you think about this, people say this all the time, that we learn the most in the valley. That's true because we're in the trials and tribulations of life, but sometimes we have to come out of the valley to hear from God, right? Because in the valley, we're not really receptive many times to the Word of God. We're going through trials and we're seeing the faithfulness of God, but it's usually not until we get out of the valley that we understand what the valley was all about, and it's oftentimes not until we get to the mountaintop that we can really hear from God. And if all you ever have in life is valleys, and by the way, we'll have plenty of those, and you never have any mountaintop experiences with God, if you can't get in your prayer closet, the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. David did not have an easy life necessarily, but he was able to get away from that and find that mountaintop place of fellowship with God where God could speak to him. And so I want to give you a few thoughts tonight on the mountain of direction. So sometimes God puts those mountains in our life for our direction. They're not just for our reprieve. They're not just for us to relax. They're not just for us to enjoy the presence of God. They are for direction. And it's not only for our direction, but oftentimes it's for the direction of others. If we're not careful, we get so self-consumed with what God's doing for me, we forget to share it with others. And Moses could have really experienced God in a supernatural way on that mountaintop and kept it to himself, because he may say, well, the others were not worthy to be where I'm at. God didn't tell him to do that. He didn't tell him. You remember how in the New Testament it said Mary kept all those things, right? Here, the Bible doesn't say Moses kept all those things. He was directed to go down and share with the people the direction of God. And so one of the great responsibilities that we often neglect is sharing what God has given us. Now, imagine with me, if you will, that Brother Jose, myself, Brother Matt, Brother Jimmy, By the way, I didn't mention it this morning, but pray for Brother Jimmy. He's sick. Miss Sheila tried to poison him, I believe, but she's not sick. So it had to be something she did to him, right? So pray for him. And if he's watching, hope he's feeling better. But think about this. If any of us men who are God's preachers, and we studied, and we spent time in the Word of God, and we did all that, and we consumed what God gave us, but we never shared it with you, you would say it was a dereliction of duty, that we're not doing what God has called us to do, right? You'd say, why do we have preachers if they're not going to share with us what God has given with them in their study time? Well, it's no different for you. There are people that need to hear what God has shared with you in the mountaintop, because they may be in the valley. They couldn't get to where you're at, and that's what we see with Moses. God brought Moses to Mount Sinai not only fellowship with him, but to give him direction for the people. Not only for himself, but also for the people. So not just for him, but for people. And so let me mention this. One of the worst times that you and I can make major decisions in life, and get what I'm saying, is when you're in the valley. One of the times you probably don't want to make life-changing decisions is when you're on the mountaintop. And so it's really backwards. We look and we're going through valleys and say, man, I need a change. I need a change of job, or I need a change of house, or I need a change of whatever it is in your life. And we do that because things are bad, right? Well, that's the worst time to make a major decision in your life. The time to make it is when things are good. But let's be honest, our flesh is telling us not to make it then. Why would I want to leave my job when things are good? So what I'm saying is we got to be careful that we do not let emotions. Moses could have looked and said, listen, God, I don't want a mountaintop experience right now. I'm going through all these problems. I just need a change of scenery. I need to get away from these people. I don't want to be in the will of God. But here, he goes up and does what God tells him to do, comes up to the mountain, and then as he's on the mountain, gets the direction of God, he does what God tells him to do and gives it to the people that he's responsible for. So what is it? It is to find the mountain of direction that God would not only instruct us, because I need it, but also that he would use us to instruct others, to help others along the journey. So what is it about the mountain of direction? Well, first of all, I want you to see it's a place of invitation. The Bible said in verse number 20, and the Lord came down unto Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses. He didn't call Aaron. He didn't call the rest of the people. He called one man, Moses, right? And so here, it is a powerful invitation. This is not Moses through a mouthpiece called out to Moses, but God himself called to Moses and said, I need to meet with you. And so it's a powerful invitation that God himself is inviting us to this mountain of direction. It's not what we think, it's what God is directing us. And so not only is it God himself inviting us, when God speaks to us, it is life-changing. Listen, Moses was never the same after he went up on the mountain, right? Matter of fact, you remember those Israelites, those Jewish people, couldn't look on his face because there was such a glow about it. Friend, when you really meet with God on a mountain somewhere, and I'm not talking about necessarily a physical mountain, but maybe it's in your prayer closet, maybe it's in the car on the way to work, but when you really have an experience where you meet with God in a very real and personal way, it changes who you are. There's something different about you, and Moses was never the same after this experience, and my friend, you will not be either. When the powerful invitation of God is speaking to you directly, it's not a broad statement, but you individually, and it may be through a message, Brother Matt. It may be something God says to you tonight or Wednesday night or one that you listen to on the radio, but something happens where God invites you to a place to fellowship with him. It is life-changing. It's not only a powerful invitation, it is a personal invitation. In verse 20, the Bible said that the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Notice Moses, he called Moses. He didn't call Aaron. He didn't call the other priest. He didn't call the people. He said Moses. And I'm glad that God's still giving personal invitations to fellowship. It's a blanket invitation, whosoever will. But I'm glad that it is a personal invitation that a man who was following God like Moses. Listen, you're not going to have the mountaintop experiences like Moses did until you start following God. There's an invitation to follow him, but then there's an invitation to a higher level of fellowship with God when he sees that we are obedient. You with me? Everybody's not on the same spiritual level, and it's not a matter of aptitude or intellect. It's a matter of following God. God is interested in our obedience tonight. A man who was following God, and watch this, a man who desired God. God wasn't just a part of his life. God was his life. Listen, you're never going to get to that spiritual place of mountaintop, that higher ground that we're looking for until you desire God above all else. If you can live without God, you're not desiring. If you can live, if you can have him, leave him, take him or leave him, you're not desiring God. If he's not everything to you, you're not desiring God. And most Christians, let's be honest, we live in such a great country, such a bountiful place where all you got to do, man, you can take it or leave it. It's on the internet. You can find a church. You can pass 40 churches on the way coming here tonight. It is available. And so sometimes because it's so readily available to us, we take it for granted. So we, my friend, have to desire God. So it's a man that was following God, a man that desired God, but watch this, a man that was obedient to God. The Bible said in verse 20, the Lord called up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Didn't say he spent 7 years praying about it. Didn't say he got counsel from everybody he knew. God called, Moses went. You hearing? Amen? Man, it's not how, if you feel, Moses probably was tired. He's probably stressed out. He's probably burned out. Amen. He's having to deal with all these Israelites in the wilderness that didn't want to kill him, didn't want anything from God, wouldn't listen to God. I guarantee you he's burned out, rusted out, ready to quit. And God says, listen, Moses, I want you to come up the mountain. You know what he did? But Lord, can we just wait? I've got a vacation plan. Can we wait? I got a promotion at work. Can we wait? I got the kids' ball practice. Can we wait? I got too much going on in my life right now. Lord, I'll call you when I got time for you. No, Moses dropped what he was doing and went. Man, you want to get in the mountaintop? You want that sweet fellowship with God? You want God to direct your life in the path he wants it? It's not going to come on your terms. It's going to come on his terms. So it's a powerful invitation, a personal invitation. Watch this. It was a purposeful invitation. Purposeful. Now listen to what I'm saying. Every encounter with God has a purpose. God doesn't do things unless he has a purpose. Every time God meets with you, it's not just for you to say, oh, it sure was good to be with God. Yeah, it may be encouraging to you. But God has a purpose. God has a purpose in this service tonight. We're not doing it just because Sunday night's supposed to have church. God wants to speak to you tonight, wants to speak to me tonight. So we have to purpose in our heart to obey God, to understand the purpose that God has in the meeting on the mountain with us. That's a mouthful. So here we see that Moses accepted the invitation. God had a purpose, not just for Moses, but for his people. And therefore, every encounter God has with you and me, he's got something in mind. God doesn't leave anything to chance, does he? So we see it's a place of invitation. Number two, it's a place of inspiration. The Bible said in verse 21, and the Lord said. Do you see that? The Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze. Many of them perish. He goes on to say this, and let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. Verse 23, and Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, that's God's word again, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. So, it is a place of inspiration. It is, we see in this scripture, the command of God. The command of God. The Lord said unto Moses, go down. Right? Did he say, Moses, if you feel like going down, if you think the people deserve it, If you think that's where God's will is for your life, to go down to him, that's not what he said. He didn't leave it up to interpretation. He just said, go down. So here, the Lord said. Does it not stop with that? But I don't feel. Doesn't matter. The Lord said. God's direction is not up for our interpretation. It is up for our obedience. The Lord said. The Lord said. The Lord said. Amen. So inspiration means it is God breathed. Your Bible is inspired. It is God-breathed. It's not only preserved, it is inspired. And so it is not second-hand account. It is direct revelation from God. When someone tells you, well, here's what I think. Here's what God gave me, right? You have to be careful, because that is second-hand account of the Bible. When I preach this, I'm preaching God's word, but these are my words. These are my what God gave to me in my study. It is not the same as reading the word of God. You with me? Your notes in your Bible are not inspired, by the way. The old Scofield, I remember there's people would say, well, Scofield said, now, Scofield's fine, but he's not inspired. Amen? Your favorite podcast, he's not inspired. Your favorite devotion book, other than the scripture, it is not inspired. Listen, folks, we better get this, because Christianity is being turned upside down because we're putting more weight in man's word than we are God's word. God's word is inspired. Man's word can be a revelation that God gives us, right? But it is not inspired. My words are not inspired. So here, the command of God, the Lord said, and when God says it, that's it. I don't care who interprets it and how they interpret it. What I care about is what God said and what he means by it, right? And we'll say, well, that's just how you interpret it. Well, this guy interprets it this way. Doesn't matter who interprets what how. What matters is what does God mean when he says it. And that is what you and I are seeking after. I'm not seeking for interpretation. I'm seeking for God's meaning. And I may understand today, but then later on God may give me more revelation to it, right? He may reveal more to me and I understand it more. But listen, it doesn't matter what your favorite preacher says, or your favorite TV guy, or your favorite YouTube guy. And he may line up with what you think. But does he line up with what God thinks? Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. His word's forever settled, not mine, not a preacher, not a teacher, not an evangelist, not anybody. So the commands of God are his commands. They're not up for our interpretation. They're simply obey or disobey. Amen? So when God said in verse 21, go down, charge the people, Moses had two choices. Do what God said to do. Don't do what God says to do. Same thing with you. As you hear the word of God tonight, you've got two choices. Do what God tells you to do. Don't do what God tells you to do. All right? So it's the commands of God. But then notice the charge of God. Verse 22, he said, let the priest also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves. Well, we learned this morning sanctification. Again, we're sanctified in the Lord, but there's a practical sanctification where we remove stuff and where we put new stuff in. Sanctifying is a cleansing, right? And so what he's telling the priests to do is they need to cleanse themselves, right? There is a ceremonial cleansing that took place. And so here, the charge of God is this, to give order to other people. In other words, the word of God sometimes goes against our desires. I'm sure Moses did not want to go down and correct the people of God. I'm sure the correction that Moses would give to the people was not what they wanted to hear. Because we know that already when Moses went up on the mountain, you know what they did? They basically had a big old party, and they got all their stuff, melted it, and formed an idol. I don't know about you, I wouldn't want to pastor those folk. They'd already said, they had already rebelled constantly against Moses. They'd rebelled against God. They had basically just said, we're going to do what we want to do. Yet, God still loved them, and Moses still loved them. And so here, the word of God sometimes goes against our desires. I know Moses probably did not want to go down there and deal with what he had to deal with, But I also know this, our human nature, we don't want to hear what God has to say. So the people would want to do what God has forbidden. Because over and over, here's what they did. All that thou sayest we'll do, right? Then they turn around and do the opposite. So here, God's going to tell Moses, go down and tell them to do stuff, and watch this. It's going to rub them the wrong way. You ever get like that? I can see it. Sometimes, man, I'll preach, I can see it in people's face. You got little flames in their eyes. Horns pop up out of their head. Fangs pop out, and they're like, if I get to preach right now, I'd choke him out and kill him. It rubs us. I don't like it either. Sometimes I'll read the Word of God, and I'm like, I don't like that. But it's my flesh. So Moses is charged by God. Wasn't, hey, buddy, if you got time, a charge, a command. Here's the one thing I want you to do, right? If you tell your children, I want you to do this, and they don't do it, it's disobedience. If God tells us to do it and we don't do it, guess what? It's disobedience. And so a charge is, here it is. Here's an order, right? It's not up for interpretation. God doesn't say in verse 23 or verse 22, let the priests figure this out. Make it so it's a parable, right? No, that's not what he did. In the New Testament, Jesus gave people parables. It was a spiritual principle, but it was hidden to those who were not spiritual. Here, God is saying, I don't want there to be any clouds about it. I don't want anybody to look at it and say, I'm not getting this. So he just says, here, charge the people, do this, right? That's pretty simple. So then, in verse 23, you see the correction of God. The correction of God. And Moses said unto God, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mountain and sanctify it. Well, you remember, God set bounds around that mountain. He basically told the people, said, you come up here and mess with it, you're going to die. What bounds has he set in your life? What bounds as believers has God set in our life? God's not trying to hurt us. He's trying to put bounds around some things that we shouldn't touch, we shouldn't participate in. And we always look because our flesh is saying, you know what? God's trying to hurt you. God's trying to hinder you. God doesn't want you to have any fun. Isn't that what he did with Eve? We think we go back all the time. They had everything in that garden to eat except for one thing. God said, don't eat that. One. Not a whole group of trees, right? Just one. One thing. The devil infiltrated and says, why wouldn't God let you eat that? He said, well, he said we couldn't eat it or touch it. And that's not what God said. Well, the reason he doesn't want you to do that, he's trying to hurt you because he knows once you do, your eyes are going to be open. You're going to experience things you've never experienced in your whole life. And they did. God is not trying to protect you. He's trying to hurt you. And if you'll just do this, man, you're going to have so much fun. That's what he told her. And so she did. So, same thing with us today. God's saying, listen, don't mess with that. All this you can have. It's sufficient. Matter of fact, it's abundantly sufficient. But this is not good. You know what the devil says? It is. It's really good. And you're a Christian, you're saved, remember? God loves you, and God's long-suffering and patient and all those good things he says in his word. And you're okay. Look at all these other Christians that are doing the same thing. Look at them. They're all happy. Look at the world, man. Look at all these guys going out partying. They're having fun. You can't do it because you're a Christian. God's putting the bound. The word of God corrects our errors. See, here's the deal. The inspiration of the word of God is this. It commands us. It charges us. And it corrects us. Then finally, number three, it's a place of instruction. Verse 24, 25, the Bible said, the Lord said unto him, away. Get thee down, thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. So here's the instruction. Ready? Here's the direction God gives them. First thing, go. You can't stay here. Go. Look what he said. The Lord said unto him, away. Get thee down. That's enough. I bet Moses, can't you see him? Lord, this is a good place. Remember Peter, New Testament. Lord, this is a good place. We won't stay here. Nope. Away. Get down. You can't stay on the mountain. You can't dwell up there, right? That's what we desire. That's what our flesh wants. And that's what our spirit wants, to be in that place. But that's not where we live at, folks. You've got valleys, but in the midst of those valleys are mountains. And the climb up the mountain's difficult, and the climb back down is a little depressing. But then there's a valley, then there's another mountain. So he says, go. So obedience is greater than sacrifice. Moses had one or two choices. He could stay up there, but God was done speaking to him. And that, Brother Jerry, that's what happens. See, we want so bad to stay on the mountain when God's saying it's time to work. And then when God isn't speaking anymore like he was at one time on the mountain, we get discouraged and we'll say, well, I sure wish it was like it used to be. Well, guess what? Your life is a journey. You can't stay in one place, right? You can't dwell in one place. You have to go through some valleys because that is where you grow, but that is also where people need you. And so we are commanded to go unto all the people. Here he says, listen, you go, get away, right? Get out of here. What's he say to do? Thou shalt come up, get thee down, thou and Aaron come up, but let not the priest, the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. Here's the warning. We say this all the time, Brother Tim. There's people dying and going to hell, but what are we doing about it? Let me ask you this, all right? Let me break it down. You tell me why three buses are sitting in the parking lot on Sunday morning. Well, nobody wants to ride a bus anymore, preacher. How do you know? You tell me why it is we have tracts sitting on the table. They're not handed out every week. I'll tell you why. Because we like this mountaintop. We like coming in. Brother Matt, we like hearing the word of God. We like hearing the choir sing. We like experiencing God, right? But we don't often want to get out the mountaintop and go out to where people need it. Moses could have stayed up there but had been disobedient because God said, get out. And the people that needed to hear from God would not have heard from God because Moses was concerned with himself. So God told Moses, go. There's the instruction. There's the direction. Go. You know what he's telling us today? Go. Acts 1:8, go. Right? Go. Where? In all the world. What is the Great Commission? Go. What's the bus route? Go. What is soul winning? Go. What is handing people a tract in the grocery store? Go. What is calling somebody on the phone? Go. What is sending them a Facebook message? Go. Listen, You and I need to get up. I was thought about this today. Brother Jose, it's remarkable to me, okay, how much opportunity we have today as believers that we waste. You have got a platform where you could bring so much glory to God, right? And what we talk about, believers talk about how bad their life is, how hard their life is. I'm just barely getting through. I'm barely making it. On and on and on and on. Can I give you a little news bulletin? People don't care about your problems, but they will listen to the solution. They have problems. They want to know the answer. And if all we do is tell them, I know how you feel. I'm in the same boat. So what? Misery loves company. You're not helping me. If I go to the doctor and I've got cancer and the doctor says, listen, I know how you feel. I got it too. That ain't helped me a bit. But the doctor says, hey, here's the problem. Here's the solution. Here's what we got to do. I'm okay with that. Friend, there are people sick and hurting in this world, and they've got all these problems, and all we're doing is talking about how bad our life is. No wonder churches are not full anymore. They're not excited about the things of God because we're not excited about the things of God. We're too busy wallowing in all of our problems and all of our emotional problems and all of our physical problems and all of our financial problems and work problems, and, oh, it's so hard for me today. Nobody cares. What they care about is how are you getting out of it? So why not make much of God? Why not make much of the Lord? Why not tell them the solution to the problem instead of bringing the problem up? And so Moses could have come down and said, listen, guys, it's bad. You guys are in bad shape, and I'm just tore up, and it's all terrible. And we got all this going on, and the world is about to go, and America's gone, and churches are gone, and on and on and on. And before you know it, the rest of them have no hope either. But when Moses got this, God said, go down, instruct them. But Johnny, that's what people need today. For us as God's people, we're to be the messengers of hope. The gospel is good news, right? It's not sad news. It's not bad news. It's not mad news. It's good news. And so we're to go. But then, not only are we to go, we are to give. Watch this. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. You know what he did? He gave them what God gave him. He gave them what God gave him. Notice, all God's asked you to do is if he gives you something in your Bible study and your time, quiet time with him, give it to somebody else. Maybe somebody at work. How many times has somebody shared something with you and you go, man, I needed that. I needed that. I was going through something today and God sent you by my way. Because I needed to hear that very thing you told me. Now, watch with me. You're reading your devotions, God praying that morning, whatever it was, and God gave you a thought. And you thought, boy, that's good stuff. And it excited you so much you told somebody else. And you know what? It may not even been for you. It may have been for them. We're robbing people of the instruction of God when we don't share what God gives us. Give what he's given you. Share it. Amen? Share it. We don't need to share more about COVID-19. We don't need to share more about how incompetent Biden is. I mean, I agree with you, but I'm saying we don't need to share all that stuff. We don't need to share about how Trump's going to come back in office in August, right? We don't need all that stuff. What we need to do is share what God's doing in your life. Won't you try that this week? Every day, because listen, again, I know you say, preach your own Facebook all the time about how bad it is. That's because we use it for bad. I'm for it if we'll use it for the right thing. But I don't, Pete, you've got an audience. You got 4,000 friends that you think are your friends. Most of them are just spying on you. Well, let them spy. But why not share something that might just touch one of them? Could it be this? Ready? This is going to sting, so get ready. Maybe we don't spend enough time on the mountain with God to where God gives us something that we can share with anybody. If you're not spending time with God to where He'll give you something, you really can't share something, can you? People need the Lord. America needs God. And I'm sure at some point in time we're going to be censored, et cetera, et cetera. Well, fine. But till we are, why not use it? Why not flip the script? Friend, God gives us direction on the mountain. And if you spend no time with Him, right, this is the only mountaintop you have is coming to church three times a week. You're not getting enough. But then there's a responsibility when God gives you something to share it with others. God blesses you. Listen, even financially, you get a good report from the doctor, whatever. Why not share it and give God glory for it? Let people know how good your God is. Well, God isn't doing much for me. I think I would examine that a little deeper if I were you. Moses had enough sense to listen to the invitation and listen to the inspiration and listen to his instruction so he could give others instruction. Question is today, will you and I? We're in dire need today. Our country's in a mess. You know what I do? The world's in a mess. You know what? You think about this, all right? Look what's going on in Cuba right now. Very well may be an independent state before long. You don't know. What would happen if it's open? Would we have enough God? Have we been alone with God enough to, if God said, go to Cuba, start a church, they need to hear the gospel? Do we have somebody to do it? See, we're looking at all this bad. And I know Miss Arlene has family there and from there. But what would happen if God opened that thing up to where all of a sudden Cuba was a free country? You know what we look at? Look how bad all this is. But folks, they may get fed up enough where they just overthrow the whole thing. So we ought to pray for them. Maybe we could take them on as a state. We could swap a C for a C. We'd get rid of California and take Cuba. I'd take Cuba in a minute. And Connecticut. We're two for one. He's still working. He's still doing some great things. We just got to be open to it. Got to be open to it. Open for direction. Amen. Let's stand together. Bow our heads tonight. Amen. Come on. Altar's open tonight. People are making their way up. You come on. God spoke to your heart. You come on tonight.